Our scripture this morning comes from Genesis 22. Excuse me, Genesis 28. I got to get my right. I do have a sermon on it, 28, so come with me there. Genesis 28, we're going to read verse 10 through 22. There are no screens. You'll have to turn in your scriptures with me. We're going to reference several of the verses again as we go through the message. But if you would, Genesis 28, beginning at verse 10. Hear what the Spirit says to the church. Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. When he had reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth, with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord. And he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go. I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Early the next morning, Jacob took the stone he had placed under his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. He called that place Bethel, though the city used to be called Luz. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey I am taking, and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear, so that I return safely to my father's household, then the Lord will be my God, and this stone that I have set up as a pillar will be God's house, and all of that, and all that you have given me, I will give you a tenth. So far, the reading of God's Word. I invite you to keep your scriptures open as we're going to be looking at a few of these verses together. And I want to start with you looking back to verse 20. And there's a statement, a question, a vow that Jacob makes in verse 20, which I think is so true to each of our journeys as we follow Jesus. He says, if God will be with me and watch me on this journey. If God will be with me on this journey. You see, that question is pointed for Jacob. Jacob is being sent away from his father's house. He's being sent to the land of Haran, which is where his uncle Laban lives. We won't get into the whole of the story, but he's being sent there to find himself a wife. He's being sent away from his father's care, his father's provision, his father's protection, and he's being sent on a journey, quite some distance, I might add, to the land of Haran. And Jacob, as he embarks on this journey, is wrestling out with the Lord, just kind of a moment of faith. If the Lord goes with me on this journey, if the Lord provides, it's one of those things that's kind of half statement, half question. Have you been there in your own walk with Jesus before? If the Lord goes with me on this journey, maybe you've been there and it's at the start of a new business endeavor. Maybe you've got a new business partner. You're thinking about starting a new business endeavor. And the question is, if the Lord will go with me? Half question, half statement. I know for some of you right now, it's pertinent in our own family, but maybe you've all had the same experience. You're thinking about whether you should go to college or not. If the Lord would go with me on this journey, half question, half statement. Maybe others still, you're seeking about or thinking about entering into a new relationship. Maybe it's a friend, maybe it's a dating relationship, maybe it's something along that line. And you're living on the edge of that relationship. And the question and the statement is, if the Lord will go with me on this journey. See, this is kind of the foundational question for, I think, that we often ask, maybe not in those exact words, but as we walk with Jesus through these new experiences of life, through new seasons, through new situations. And we live right on the front edge of it. And that question slash statement is right before us. If God will go with me on this journey. I find it a profound question because I think it's also the same question that Abel will experience over the course of his life. It's the same question that all of us, as we navigate baptismal promises, experience. Will God go with me on this journey? Will this faith of my parents become my own faith? Is the faith of my parents what is true? What is real? And is the God that they worship the God that I will worship too? This question slash statement, I think, lingers at the heart of all that we do as followers of Jesus along the way. But into that question, I want to invite you to see the powerful nature of this text. That yes, this is Jacob's question. This is Jacob's statement of faith in some regards. But what he will discover along the journey is that God has already gone before him, and God is already in the places that Jacob doesn't even know he will get to yet. And in faith is finding God in those unknown stops along the way towards our journey's destination. And baptism, we'll come to find, is actually the promise that helps us see it. More on that in a moment. If you would, let's start at the beginning. Some unknown stops along this journey that Jacob is making and that you and I make as we walk with Jesus. Look back with me, if you would, at verse 10. Verse 10 and 11 set the stage for us about what's happening in this story. Jacob is leaving Beersheba. He's leaving his family's home, his father's home, with all of the blessing and all of the perks and all of the promises, and he's being sent out to the land of Haran, to Laban's house. He knows the destination, he knows the goal, he knows the journey, and even to some extent, the way that he must take. The destination is clear for him. But then we get to verse 11, and there's this kind of unexpected moment where it says, when he reached a certain place. The way that the Hebrew writes that is that he has no idea that he was going to stop there. It's a certain place only because it has a physical location, not because it had a certain destination in mind. The only reason he ended up there is because he ran out of daylight by which to travel. That's what the text says. And so it's as if he's going along his journey, and he gets to a certain point in that journey, and he says, well, I can't see what's ahead of me, and so he just has to stop in that moment at that place. It's a certain place. But it really was an unknown stop. You see, it strikes me that that's true to the life of faith as well. There is a destination set before us. a destination of life everlasting with Jesus because of the work that he has done. The journey from that word of baptismal promise all the way to a life that is lived in eternity with him forever. And yet along that journey, we call it life, there are these unknown stops where we almost had just been walking and we've been following Jesus, but he brings us to kind of these unknown moments, these unknown places in our story or in our journey where we're not quite sure what's going on. This is really the spiritual journey that we've watched enact in Abel's life. And in all of our lives who have been given the baptismal promises of Jesus, we know the destination, life with Christ, and life with Christ for all eternity. But yet there are these unknown stops along the way. Experiences that we must go through where we don't quite know the outcome. I want to invite you, this is what's happening for Jacob. He's going about the journey. He's headed towards Haran, but he reaches this place. The light has run out, and so he lays his head down to rest. It's an unknown stop for him in the middle of his journey. It's at that moment that God shows up and gives him some promises to sustain him along the way. Look with me at verses 12 through 15. In verses 12 through 15, we find that Jacob rests his head upon a stone. He falls asleep, whether that's weary from the journey, whether that's just that's what you do when it gets dark outside. But he ends up having a dream. And often the ways in the pages of Scripture, when God gives the dream, when he sets a vision in their heart, there is something vitally important for the next steps of that person's journey. And it's so true here in the story of Jacob. As he's on his journey, as he comes to this unknown place, this unknown stop along the way, God shows up. And if you take note what happens in verses 12 through 15, God gives six different promises to Jacob. That he will be with him, he will bless him. And it has such the echo of all of the patriarchs, Abraham and Isaac, the lineage that Jacob is from. It rehearses the story, it reminds them that this is the promise that God has been making for at least the last two generations. But yet in its own unique way, it's spoken over Jacob. Now, I want to bring you to it's one of those places in the text where it can be translated two different ways. And I'm going to try not to... we'll just jump there. Come to verse 13 with me, if you would. I'm going to buck the system when it comes to all of the really smart people who have translated the NIV. So just come with me, if you would. If you maybe have a footnote about verse 13, and it says, there above it, this is the ladder that's reaching down from earth to heaven, and how the angels of God are going up and down. It says, there above it, and there's a footnote, because you can translate that Hebrew a little bit of a different way. The other way that you can translate it is not there above it, but there beside him. And I would submit to you this morning that other translation, the way that you can translate it, actually has more of a through line with this text. That God isn't standing there at the top of the ladder, somehow calling out or shouting down to Jacob, but God is actually there beside him. God has walked down the ladder in the dream, if you will. Because notice what happens next. And God said to him, God didn't shout to him. God didn't call to him. God said to him. And I think there's a profound moment that happens in the text for these promises that God is speaking. God has come down to him, and he's speaking these promises over him. He's right there beside him. And I submit that to you this morning because that's the way that God so often moves in our stories. It's the way that God has actually revealed himself as we step into the New Testament. That the God that we worship and the God who makes these promises, the God who moves towards his people, who comes beside them. Think of John chapter 1. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. God moves in beside us. Think of John 14 and the gift of the Holy Spirit, where John reminds us through the words of Jesus that I will give to you another paraclete, another counselor, another comfort, another comforter. And the Holy Spirit who indwells within us has moved in beside us. It's a proximity, it's a closeness. That the promises given to us along the journey are given by one who walks with us on this journey of life. And if you're still a little skeptical, think of the other story about a stairway to heaven. And I'm not talking about the old rock and roll song. Some of you got that reference. The other stairway to heaven is the story of the Tower of Babel, in which humanity thought it wise to try to climb to God, to become like him. But in this movement and in this giving of promises for the one who meets us on this journey, that God descends the stairs to his people. Friends, consider with me this morning the beauty of what takes shape in that story. Jacob is on his journey and he says, if God will go with me, and what happens? God not only goes with him, but God comes down to him and makes his promises known. Friends, I want to invite you to see this is at the heart of the covenantal work that our God does. It's at the heart of the baptismal promises even that were made to Abel this morning and where each of us were reminded of those promises given to us. God comes down to us. He offers these promises to go with us, to walk this journey alongside of us. And God makes that movement towards us. He's the one who initiates. He's the one who calls into relationship. He's the one who is with us, verse 15 says. I'm with you. I'll watch over you wherever you go. The promises of God are at the heart of this covenantal work. I want to look with you just a little bit deeper then. What does it mean that God is with us on this journey? That God comes down beside us in Jesus and the working of the Holy Spirit. Just as God came down to Jacob and said and spoke these promises over him. Verse 15, verse 16. What does it mean that God is with us on this journey? I'm with you. I'll watch over you. I'll bring you back to this land. But then verse 16. When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. The Lord was in this place, and I was not aware of it. The Lord was in that unknown stop on the journey. And the Lord had gone ahead of Jacob and was already in that moment. He was in that space. He was making a way in that very place for Jacob to experience the promises given to him. And how true isn't that same promise that the Lord was in this place and I just didn't know it? Isn't that true about our journey that we walk with Jesus? where he's come down beside us and he's indwelling us by the Holy Spirit. And yet along this journey of faith, we find ourselves in these unknown stops. But yet once we've stepped through them and once we've maybe been there for a while, we know that the Lord is in this place, even if we didn't know that he'd be there when we showed up. Let me try to just give you a few illustrations of that, as best I can to capture that. Three things come to mind for me. The first, for me particularly, well, actually all three of these are fairly personal stories, but we'll go there. The first for me is actually moments in a counselor's office where it's pain that brings you in. But when the counselor turns and he sees you and invites you to consider seeing yourself in a different way, in a more truthful way, in a more honest and vulnerable way. I didn't go into the counselor's office expecting to find the Lord there. I went into the counselor's office so that he would get my head on straight. But yet the Lord was in this place. And I didn't even know it. Another place for me, and maybe you've been in that same journey. If you've ever been afforded the opportunity, the gracious opportunity to be beside someone's bed as they pass away, there is a profound moment there where the Lord was in that place and we didn't even know it. There's been a profound experience for me. I happened to be in the room when my grandpa Jay passed away. Some of you know him. They call him Bear for various reasons. Some of it was he was growly to some of you. Sorry about that. My experience was just a big teddy bear. But if you remember something about Grandpa Jay, and those of you that don't know him, I can tell you more later, but Grandpa Jay always had two things. He had a big round belly, ever since I've known him, and he had really rosy cheeks. His cheeks were always red. They were always rosy. And I remember being called there on a Sunday afternoon, And he had long since stopped communicating. He had been quiet. His eyes were closed. He was breathing quite shallow, but yet his cheeks were still rosy. And I remember being invited in there, and it was hard. It's a place of death. It's a place of grieving. And I remember the moment because when he took his final breath and he passed from grace into glory, his face went this really odd, pale yellow color. And I remember at that moment, seeing the pale cheeks, and the words of Revelation 21 flooded my heart and mind. And behold, there is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. There is no more mourning or crying or pain. And I don't know if you've ever been there in that moment, that unknown stop along the way. But surely the Lord was in that place, even though I didn't know it. Another one that comes to mind for me, and I won't tell the whole of this story, but my kids will know which story I'm talking about. Sixth grade is a brutal year. And I remember sixth grade, I was quite socially awkward. No comments if you still think I am. It's not what the sermon's about. Sixth grade. I remember I was sick the day that we had to do our presentations about medieval life, and I had to do a presentation on jousting. And so I had, in my creative ability, I had used a cardboard box, and I had given myself some great armor, and I had created two lances, and I had a buddy help me out because I was like 2 weeks late for doing this project. And I remember at that moment we had to joust each other, and I was going to be the losing knight in this jousting tournament. And so my buddy, he did his job perfectly. He stabbed me right with his joust right in the good spot of the armor, which then promptly forced the cardboard armor up into my neck, and it slit my neck, and I started bleeding in front of my whole class. Let's just say that story did not die very quickly. And a lot of kids in sixth grade can be really brutal with the words they speak. Yet in that moment, that unknown stop along the way, Jesus reminded me of who I am to him. A baptismal identity that was given to me years before, which reminded me that I was known and loved by Jesus himself. And I belong to him. Friends, those are the sort of experiences that I think the story of Jacob helps us see. There is a journey. There is a destination. He knows where he's headed. I know where I'm headed. But those unknown stops along the way, those unknown stops of maybe it's the pain of life that brings you to a counselor's office, or it's that moment where you have to face death, or it's that moment where you're totally embarrassed and made fun of by peers. Not just sixth grade, but that goes on for life. And the Lord is in that place, even if you don't know it. And I want to hold it before you this morning. That is what makes the promises of baptism so incredibly beautiful for Abel as he walks this journey. For each of us, as the waters of baptism have been placed on our heads, that means that any unknown stop along the journey, the Lord is already in that place. The Lord is already there, creating space for you to receive and remember and believe again who he says you are and what he's doing in your life. It's the heart of the covenant where God initiates the relationship, and then every day, every minute of every day, the Lord reminds you of who you are, and he calls you back to him. He draws you in. He reminds you that he never lets you go. He will be with you wherever you go. And he will be in that place, even if you don't know it at the time. Friends, this is part of our baptismal identity. About what it means today that God speaks these promises over his people. And he continually calls to them and reminds them that he shows up in those unknown places. Now, real quick, I want to talk for just a moment about verses 18 through 22. It in part, it's Jacob's response. But I want to just make a quick connection here for us. Verses 18 through 22. Early next morning, he talks about Jacob took that stone that he had slept on, and he made it an altar. He made it that place where he would worship the Lord and he would remember what God has done. It's a common practice throughout the Old Testament that in those places where God shows up and God makes his promises and God reminds his people of what he's up to, that they build an altar. They have a moment of worship and recognition, kind of a meaning-making time. And I draw that to your attention because in some regards, that's exactly what we did here this morning. Over the sacrament of baptism. It's a place where we've been making meaning. It's a place where we've been worshiping in a way that reminds us that this is the God moving towards us and the God who meets us in those unknown stops along the way. And the sacrament of baptism, the sign and seal of God's activity, is to be constantly there reminding us of who God is. And so remember and believe again. Just like Jacob built an altar because God met him in that moment. We have this sacrament, this sign and seal of God's covenantal love. which calls, invites, and reminds each of us who we are. Hold that sacrament in your heart. And then let me wrap up by reminding you where the story ends. The story ends in verse 22, at least for this morning. Where if God will go with me, which we've just reminded and remembered that He will always, even in those places where we didn't know He would show up. If God will go with me, then at the end of verse 22, and of all that you give me, I will give you a tenth. Jacob knows that the only life worth living is the life lived in response to the work of Jesus, to the response to the work of the God who calls. And so for him, he's going to give a tenth back. It is a life returned to God. And I close there because it is our prayer, just as we have committed, that one day Abel responds to Jesus and he says, I believe. I believe that the promises that were made to me in my baptism are the promises I want to believe. That the faith of my parents is my faith. It's the thing that we teach our kids. It's the promise that we hold before them that God will continue to speak, but there comes a moment where we respond and we surrender our life to Jesus. And then we get to live that out. Day after day after day after day along this journey towards heaven, where we return our life to God and the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Things like Romans 1, where we let the renewing of our mind be our spiritual act of worship. Like Romans chapter 10, where if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that He is God and that He has been raised from the dead, we will be saved. There is a life that is returned to the God who has made Himself known. So friends, I invite you to hear this story, maybe with a fresh heart this morning, that faith is about finding God in those unknown stops along the way. And baptism is what helps us see Him in those stops, reminding us that God has always been there, even if we have a hard time seeing Him. And that over the course of our life, we have these opportunities to respond to Him and letting our life be returned to Him in service, in joy, and in trust. Let's pray together. Father, we acknowledge this morning that some of us may find ourselves in an unknown stop along the journey. That some of us find ourselves this morning in those places where we're not sure if You're going with us. Where we're not sure if You're already in that space. But Lord, will You remind us, challenge us, call us, invite us again to believe the promise that You are already in that space. And if it seems to be an unknown stop to us, Lord, You're here in it with us. You go with us. You'll be with us wherever we may go. Teach that promise to Abel. Teach that promise to each of us as we navigate this journey called life. Father, we recognize that from our vantage point, You move in mysterious ways. You allow us to enter into places that are unknown stops for us. But give us the faith, we pray, to believe and to experience that you are with us. Jesus, the Word incarnate, the Holy Spirit indwelling within us, you're here. In whatever unknown stop we may find ourselves today. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.